The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. How you doing, Kelly?
Hey. Good?
After guessing lines yesterday, I'm just taking a breath now.
Taking a breath now?
First time. Okay.
I was impressive yesterday.
Ooh. Ready to do a normal show? All right. Yeah, no, that was, what a week. What a weekend in the NFL. 17 plus point comebacks. Never happened before. So it deserved all the gravitas that we gave it. Today on the show, we will talk college basketball. Matty Cox will join us from Three Man Weave. Pete Futak on college football. His bowl thoughts today and beyond. Kelly, I guess you and I have to review or at least update our college bowl pick 'em contest that you and I are having with each other.
That's right. I'm killing it.
I think we're even, aren't we?
I don't know.
I think we're even because you actually hit NC Central.
That's right, I did.
You hit North Carolina Central, which we'll talk with Futak about. Not so lucky with UConn, though. UConn almost broke the hearts of Marshall bettors yesterday, like myself. My God, it was like 28-0, easy peasy. And then all of a sudden, you're like, I cannot believe this is a sweat.
Yeah, they came clawing back, huh?
Good gracious.
I was watching the beginning of it. We were doing big bets, and it looked very one-sided. So, yes, I feel you. If you were sweating that at the end, that's tough.
Jason Weingarten will join us a day early from under a cloud of smoke. Talk some betting with him, NFL and beyond, and the JVT on the NBA. Yesterday, Packers beat the Rams. Let's start there. Not much to really get into with that game. 24-12, Packers keep their slim playoff hopes alive. Mathematically speaking, of course, they get to 6-8. The betting implication there at the end, though, the ball at the 4-yard line, the sticks or the ground to, or the what is it, the down to gain, the, what do they call it, the line to gain, yeah, for the first down is at the 2. So you're one of these situations with the total where if they plunge it into the end zone, the overs hit. If you get the first down, not so much. If you don't get the first down, I'm not sure what happens at that point. What do the Packers opt to do at that point in the game with a couple minutes left? Would they kick a field goal? Would they just try to run it again?
Is that how much time was left? I thought there was less than that.
No, because they got the first down super early, right? There were a couple minutes left in the game, if I'm not mistaken.
So, well, then I guess you got to kick a field goal.
Or do you just pin them back? In other words, it was a question mark, right? I don't know. But yeah, what ends up happening is they get to the sticks and they get the first down, but not the touchdown. And so then they kneel on it and the unders hit. 36 total points, 24-12 Packers, the total being 40. By the way, first half under and full game under hit.
So you have 1:39 left on the clock.
Right. So what do you do there? I don't know. I'm just saying that was the end of that game in terms of betting implication. So,
yeah, I mean it was. Yeah. I mean you were at the fourth and two at the Rams 4.
There were options in other
and you
words.
Get a,
for that.
And you get a first down.
You don't know. Do they kick the field goal to go up 15? Do they just pin him back there? It makes it difficult to get. You know, who knows?
Is that a bad beat?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I heard
way too much of the bad beat. That's one of those terms that's starting to get thrown around too much.
No, that's not a bad
beat.
This
is football. They got a first down. They kneeled it out like they should.
Yes. And if you weren't born yesterday, this is how teams used to play ends of games where they do the sportsmanlike thing and kneel as opposed to the new generation. If you want to stop us, then if you don't want to score, then stop us kind of people. Which is like, okay, thanks, Neanderthals.
I feel
we appreciate
like such
that.
An old man on like gambling Twitter now because I feel like you see those terms thrown out all the time and you're like, I can tell you about a bad beat or two.
The bigger NFL implication or the bigger news yesterday with implications was obviously the Jalen Hurts sprained shoulder, which didn't happen during our show. Of course, the news cycle begins right after we're off the air. And so that came down. And so all kinds of implications, beginning, of course, with the point spread of their game against Dallas this week. It shot up from 1.5 to 3, then from 3 to 6, and that's where it settles right now. Dallas Cowboys is 6-point favorite because even though Nick Sirianni is downplaying this injury as not particularly serious, you got to figure that Hurts is going to miss this game at a minimum.
Yeah.
Now, remember, we're talking about a 3-game window now, okay, because no one's disputing that he'll be back for the postseason at worst. But we're talking about a 3-game minimum. So we'll get to the implications beyond the spread on the awards, MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, perhaps even coach of the year if the Eagles were to lose a couple of these games. Mm-hmm. Here's where I'd like to go with this, for this segment anyway. Me, as a guy who grew up in the DMV in Washington, D.C., and having the Commodores just lose to the New York Giants, right? So the New York Giants, right now, currently in the sixth position in the NFC playoff, really with a two-game lead. I know it's only one game in the standings to Washington, who's at 7 currently, at 7-6-1. The Giants at 8-5-1 in the number 6 hole. Commanders at 7-6-1. It's really virtually a two-game lead because the Giants have the head-to-head now with a 1-0-1 record against Washington. Seahawks and Lions lurking on the outside looking in, half game behind the Washington football team. I'm going to try to use every possible name for Washington here in the segment. So what immediately came to mind for me as someone who is interested in the fate of the Commanders is, hey, wait a minute now. The Eagles have that game against the Giants the final week of the season. And so let's just, you know, so that was a big fulcrum point in this discussion of who is going to get into the playoffs and who is not. Because the Giants, they're dogs this week at the Vikings, right? And then they had that last game of the season against the Eagles. The assumption was that the Eagles would have nothing to play for then. Still might not, by the way. But the assumption was that the Giants would have the Eagles would have nothing to play for Week 18, and therefore the Giants' schedule at Minnesota, home Indy, at Philly, two out of those three might be winnable because Philly might not have anything to play for, and they'll sit people. Now, maybe not so fast, as the great Lee Corso would say. Not so fast. Because let's just play this out, Kelly. Let's say, so Jalen Hurts doesn't play this week. I think a lot of people are on board with that. Next week, the Eagles have the Saints. All right, now keep in mind, the Eagles have a two-game lead over the Vikings in the standings, and they also have the tiebreaker. So the Eagles win, and they have the number one seed.
You just got to win once.
You just got to
win. The last 3 weeks.
Their magic number, to use the baseball term, is one. Any Eagles win or Vikings loss, and the Eagles clinch the number one seed, which is all they need. So the Eagles will sit Hurts. Minshew will play. Let's say they lose at Dallas. Let's say Minnesota beats the Giants. Okay, both of those things are favored to happen this week. Then you get to the situation of, okay, the Eagles are like, well, our magic number is still only one. There's 2 weeks left. We have a game against the Saints. Now, there's a lot of bettors, because bettors tend to be much more locked in than mainstream media folks, let's face it, who are going to immediately say, wait a minute, there's draft implications to that Eagles-Saints game. Remember, the Eagles own that Saints first-round pick. So it is in the Eagles' interest to beat the Saints and therefore get an even better draft pick, mm-hmm, with the Saints losing that game, ostensibly.
So, that's a good call. I didn't think about that yesterday.
But here's my counter to that. I think as bettors and as people more locked in than the average guy, I think sometimes we make too much of that point. Like, I don't know that in the Eagles' locker room, right, I don't think there's a front office edict, hey, we got this draft pick, you may want to get Hurts back in this game. I don't think that happens.
I don't think so either.
Go ahead.
I think it's overblown by everybody. It's really as simple as they know, at least as of today, they know if they win one more game, they have clinched the number one seed, the NFC East, all those accolades, right? That's the most important thing. So if Jalen Hurts, when he's healthy enough to play, will play.
Okay.
Whether that's this week, next week, the week after, or not at all until the playoffs.
Which brings me to my point on all of this, which is I don't think that draft thing is a thing. And so there is a possibility to me that Hurts would then sit a second game, even though Sirianni is downplaying this. And the Eagles should very rightfully take the approach, hey, I know we lost to the Cowboys. Let's play this out. I know we lost to the Cowboys and Minnesota beat the Giants. Because remember, they care about, right, Minnesota in terms of the number one seed. Let's play this out one more week. Why be anything but cautious with Hurts' shoulder? Let's let him sit out this. And let's just say,
let's just see what happens.
Let's just say the Saints beat the Eagles in that game and the Vikings win. Who the Vikings play next week after they play the Giants? And let's say the Vikings win that. Okay, what I'm getting to is a situation where the Eagles actually
Packers,
okay. Let's say the Eagles then heading into the final week of the season, a game that would have meant nothing to them now with the Hurts injury might actually mean something the Giants are the team that really takes the hit to me in terms of the yes-no playoffs. The Giants, which to me, over 90%, what's the Steve Kornacki board that he uses on NBC Sunday nights? He was like, oh, the Giants beating the Commanders, now they're over a 90% chance to win. I agree with that based on the fact that they didn't, that the Eagles might sit everybody the final week of the season. But now with the Hurts injury, I'm not so sure, man.
Yeah, it definitely changes things.
Because the Lions have the easiest schedule of the bunch. Washington, all of a sudden, with the two home games at the end. Dallas, it's Washington. Now, let's say Washington loses to San Francisco, but somehow figures out a way to beat Cleveland and a Dallas team that might be locked into a seed the final week of the season. I'm just saying that Hurts injury, we'll get to the awards, right? We'll get to the MVP and Offensive Player of the Year, maybe even Coach of the Year, and obviously it affected the spread. But to me, that has a trickle-down effect of yes-no playoffs quite possibly as well.
It could.
As bettors, I just think we ought to be aware of that well before everyone points this out next week, right?
No, I hear you. But is it one of those, to me, is it actionable right now?
I think if you're going to action on it, if I may, the time to be actionable on it would be now.
And you're saying Giants. Giants.
I'm just saying, if you believe that that chain of events will happen, and you want to get ahead of it, this week would be the time to make that wager. If you don't believe that, if you think what I'm talking about is far-fetched and it can't possibly happen, and I understand there's a bunch of dominoes in there, then no. But if you want to get ahead of it, just keep in mind that Hurts injury might have a lot of implications beyond just the awards markets. We'll see. Possibility could play this week, but I doubt it. Coming back, college basketball, numbers game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada, the king of sportsbooks, I should say. Time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport. Whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Pardon me. Skill Alexander. Skelly Bidlin. Unprofessional with the throat there.
It's okay.
So let me ask you. So
you've been getting past some stuff. You're over it now.
I'm almost over it. So, by the way, just can we wrap up the point before? Because you and Isaiah bring up something.
Yeah.
So what's the bet? Is the bet the Giants no at plus 500 to miss the playoffs? Is the bet Washington yes plus 225 currently to make the playoffs? These are all courtesy of DraftKings. Or is the bet Seattle and Detroit, respectively, at plus 175 yes, Detroit at plus 125 to make the playoffs? Remember, two of these four make the NFC playoff picture. And so I guess what I'm advocating here is Washington plus 225. If you think that that chain of events is going to happen, based on everything we said, we won't repeat them, but the Hurts domino effect, the bet there, by the way, I think Detroit at plus 125 is a nice bet also, even though that's not as sexy. But their schedule is the easiest of the bunch.
They have the easiest left, and not much, I mean, unless Green Bay makes a push, right? There's not much what-ifs, like we're throwing out with all these other teams, right?
So, because basically what I'm saying is I think they're now, the Giants may go 1-2. But 1-2 for the Giants, still, it won't get Seattle past them. So I don't know. There's a shot at the no 5-1, but for me, I think Washington plus 225 is the interesting wager. I think it's Detroit and Washington for me on the yes, but the Giants no is interesting too. Seattle I think is a no, and I think that's properly priced.
I think it's Washington or Detroit for me, but I think the Washington one's interesting because everything we're talking about with Philly, they could encounter with Dallas the last game of the season, where Dallas could be locked into that five seed or the five seed, and they have nothing to play for.
If Washington goes 2-1, the Giants go 1-2. Giants still get in, right? So what you to in order for that plus 225 to hit for Washington, something that you don't expect has to happen. Right? Either
Seahawks,
the Giants
lose
to the either the Giants lose to the Colts or Washington beats the Niners, right? That kind of thing. So I don't know. I mean, first of all, I think Detroit plus 125 is certainly a bet. That is a bet that I would make. Because I think they have the easiest path. I think they go, I don't know, now that I'm thinking about it, it's still a tough. Still, the number might not be juicy
it's
enough.
It's tough. Yeah. This whole situation got a lot more interesting over the past 24 hours.
It did. But whereas I thought before this Hurts thing, it was done, right? Like, Giants were certainly in, appropriately priced at minus 750, and then it's the potluck of the other three. Which are the other three? Now, I don't know, man.
And this is the other thing I was bringing up a little bit off air. I mean, what are the chances, too, that let's say the Eagles sit Hurts and he's sitting for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
What are the chances they've still clinched?
There's that, too.
Heading into the last week.
There's
you know what
too.
I mean? That could still happen. And then that game's meaningless still.
Yeah. So basically what I'm saying is, if you really like that, you know, that scenario, then there's a bet here.
Yeah.
And even then, It's not like the juiciest, most awesome thing.
You're gambling.
There's a little bit of gamble still in you. I'm just saying it's alive now. But
oh, it is.
But these numbers are not nearly as sexy as I would have wanted them to be.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like Washington had plus 225. You know, because they could outlast Seattle and Detroit. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. But like there's a plus number in there that's going to hit for sure. Anyway.
I think it's the Detroit one.
Detroit plus 125 seems like the easiest one, but it's priced as such,
it's
right?
It's priced as such.
Yeah. Should they be minus would be, I guess, the thing that you
would determine.
No,
and I think they should be closer probably to even money.
Yeah. But they could lose to Carolina. Nobody be surprised this week too, right? So anyway. What just happened here on the show, ladies and gentlemen? For a segment and a half, we talked ourselves into a bet, and then we sort of pulled back on
it. Hey, you know what we did though? We thoroughly talked through the NFC playoff scenarios, okay?
God, Lord. Let's talk some college basketball. Matt Cox from Three Man Weave joins us. How you doing, Matty?
Boys, pleasure to be back. How we doing?
We're doing well. Let's start with your picks. Let's get those in first. What do you like tonight?
Whew. A few things. Looking at Illinois-Chicago here in my neck of the woods, playing across town. I wouldn't call it a rivalry. I don't think the Flames and the Wildcats have some prestigious track record of matchups. But there is
the Chicago Showdown, it's not known as that.
Exactly. Chicago's Horizon team versus Chicago's Big Ten team. I'm sorry, Chicago's Valley team because the Flames are now in the Valley. But just playing simple, I think it's way too big. Luke Yaklich, who was once heralded as a defensive specialist at Michigan, kind of has fallen under the radar the last couple of years. I think now he finally has a decent roster and their team's playing well. I believe they're catching a touchdown up there in Evanston against Northwestern, who I think's price is a little bit inflated by some recent lopsided efforts. They just beat DePaul by a million last time out. So I like the Flames. That's my biggest best bet of the night.
Flames, biggest, best bet of the night, catching the 14 against Northwestern. Are you sprinkling a little on that at all?
No, I can't do that. No, okay. I've had bad moneyline luck this year, so I'm trying to stay away from those temptations.
What did we learn about Virginia against Houston, and how do you feel about Virginia against Miami tonight?
Virginia has dominated Miami historically. It's just kind of a bad matchup. A lot of the ACC schools have pretty lopsided coaching head-to-head matchups. So Tony Bennett does own Jim Larranaga. And I just think it's because their pack line defense is so good against Miami's ball screen obsessed offense. What we learned from Virginia is that they're a really good team, but they need a healthy Reese Beekman. I think when Beekman's at his best, when he has that hammy 100%, I think it's a different game against Houston. I really do. I think Houston's better than Virginia, but I think the gap is a lot closer than that game played out because of the injury of Beekman. So he should not be 100% here. I think he's still a little bit banged up. I do worry that this is a tough spot here, coming down with a fairly quick turnaround going down to Coral Gables. But I like the matchup. I like Tony Bennett as a dog or as a short favorite either way. So I would lean that way, but again, not playing it because of the Beekman concern.
Where does Tony Bennett rank in your – so I've asked you some form of this before. Like, how much do coaches sort of play into it? When a handicapping a Virginia game, you think highly of Tony Bennett. How much does that play in where you're like, well, I'd go against Virginia, but it's a Tony Bennett game, or vice versa?
Yeah, I never would go big against Tony Bennett. I think there's certain coaches of the elite status, even the ones that have been elite for a while, and it's kind of baked into the price of their teams and the numbers that are on their games. Even then, I still don't like going against them for big. Now, I will if the price is wrong. I did have Houston small last game, but again, would never bet big against Tony Bennett. There's a few other coaches out there as well, especially the ones at the mid-major ranks where you just look at yourself and you go, you know, I don't need to bet big against this coach. So you try to find out who you respect, kind of have a mental note of that list, and you know, maybe adjust your unit tiering accordingly based on coaches you like versus coaches you don't, or vice versa.
Okay, and when we look at the top, so we talk about when we do our NFL power rankings, which we're doing later on the show, by the way, our NFL power rankings. If you did your college basketball power rankings, when we do our NFL, we've had tiers this year where it's like a top three for sure, then it's like a 4 through 7, and then it's kind of free-for-all after that. Where do you stand? Like, what's your top tier? Because if I ask college basketball experts here, sort of anecdotally, there's a lot of UConn love. Like, there's a lot of people who will end sentences by going, yeah, oh, but UConn, they're really good, right? What is your top tier? What's your second tier?
I do have UConn on their own tier right now. I can't believe I do, but that's just – it's a function of two things. One, how dominant UConn's been. They continue to play to a higher rating than I have them slotted. I mean, God, they're catching. They're laying 20. Well, now it's down to 21. Laying 21 to your Hoyas today here at Gill.
Yeah.
Some big money coming in on the Hoyas. I good luck to you. I just bet Georgetown last game against Xavier. That team is maybe the least fun team to back in college basketball. So good luck to those out there who took the 24 or 23. But back to your initial question, at UConn tier 1A. Tier 1B is a mix of like Houston, Gonzaga. I still think Tennessee, Alabama, Arizona, and maybe Kansas are in that mix. Purdue-ish, Duke-ish, Kentucky. It's a huge tier 1B, and I think it's a wide-open landscape this season where there isn't a clear-cut elite team. There's a lot of really, really good teams that will kind of, I think, ebb and flow throughout that that range throughout the course of conference play. But right now, I think you have to put UConn on a separate perch above that tier 1B, as I'm calling it.
Wow, which you said you never would have thought you would have said that before the season started, no. Huh? Wow.
But you look at the results, I mean, the talent's real. You know, Dan Hurley opinions, I think, are mixed in the market. I've always thought Dan Hurley's a pretty good coach. You know, I look back what he did at Rhode Island. I had a really special run there to make the tournament, put together a decent team. I think he's overachieved in prior years, which gives me confidence that he can coach a team to the rating of its talent. And this talent is top-notch, Divine.
All right, 15 seconds. You only gave us the one pick. Did you want to give us a second or you're out the door?
I'll throw one more out there. Florida Gators, just a gut play, laying a field goal. I think they beat Oklahoma tonight.
Gut play, Gators laying a field goal, Kelly.
Boo.
Thank you, Matty Cox. Appreciate it, man. Matt Cox, everybody, at 3FW_CBB with the Gator move at the end. Coming back, more Hurts implications. Jalen, that is, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College bowl season's here. VSiN has you covered. We have picks, spreads, and totals for every single bowl game. Head to VSiN.com and check out all our bowl betting coverage. While you're there, now's a great time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79. You get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland. So let's review the first half hour of this show, Kelly. Shall we? I'd like to do a review of the first half hour.
All right.
Okay. One. Not a bad beat for the Packers. 4th and 2. Anything could happen there. They make the decision with the score 24-12 in terms of the total, in terms of over players. They make the decision. We're going for it. They could have kicked a field goal, which would have been under anyway. They could have scored, which would have made it an over. They get the first down. Then they go to kneeling it, which is how you're supposed to play
especially
football.
You're under yes. 2-minute warning. You're not, under there.
It's not a bad beat. It's not a bad beat.
Not at all.
I messed up the downs, by the way.
That part we got right, though.
That part we got
not right. A bad beat. Stop
not
complaining.
Not a bad beat. Stop the
it kind of sucks, but guess what? Losing bets sucks all the time.
And the Jalen Hurts, yes-no playoff implications for the other teams, something to think about. But as we talked it through, we didn't like the numbers enough, ultimately, I guess, to really be like, oh, this is such a great bet. I don't know.
It is just
it's just in
play
now.
To your point
at
the beginning, it has turned into a situation now that is far more interesting with some of these yes-no playoff bets than you would have thought 24 hours ago.
So Steve Fezzik, friend of show.
What's up, Steve?
He has texted. He says his opinion. Sometimes I don't know if Steve thinks it's his opinion or if it's fact, but Steve's opinion is that it's a play. His play is to look to play correlated parlays. This is a great point by him. Look to play correlated parlays week 17 into week 18. So we're talking about next week when you have that in look-aheads, right? If books post week 18 lines is the thing about that, right? Because the issue with week 18, and let this be the first time we say this word this year, week 18, Kelly, the squirreliest of all weeks in the National Football League. So a lot of books are going to be hesitant to post those lines in advance because there's going to be all kinds of motivational issues in week 18. And so therefore they'll they won't put them out there for people to bet. Some will. Some will play a little scared.
Yeah, no, and that would make sense. I guess I would be more surprised. I don't think I've ever attempted this. I guess I would be more surprised if you could parlay a week 17. Once you're in week 17, right? Parlaying a week 17 line with a look ahead line.
Someone will allow you to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's another way to play this.
That's absolutely right.
The man is right a lot. The man is right a lot. He is.
That's the way to play. If you can do that, that's the way to play.
Whatever we were talking about, it's not nearly as smart as that, huh? All right, so the other implications of the Jalen Hurts injury has more direct, obviously the spread being the most direct, Cowboys now favored by 6. But then there are the awards market, and Kelly, we should just sort of say this. You wanted to talk about this anyway, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, before all this
Before all this happened, we were planning on talking about it, and then this happened, right? So here's the NFL MVP odds movement. So Friday, Jalen Hurts was your minus 175 favorite. Patrick Mahomes was 2-1. Everybody else was double digits. Now, after the Hurts sprained shoulder injury, Patrick Mahomes goes to minus 360. Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts both at plus 550. And Joe Burrow, sneaky, freaky brother, sneaking in from the rear, Kelly. Know how much you love that LL song and those lyrics. 6-1.
I couldn't believe the Josh Allen odds got cut that much. I don't know that there is not a play in this market right now. Can we agree on that?
We do. We do indeed.
There is not a play. If Jalen Hurts misses multiple games, then it's Patrick Mahomes. I don't think there's a play in this market right now. I wanted to lay that out, though, because I felt so bad for Matt Brown yesterday. Gil, he's got that 40-1 ticket on Jalen Hurts.
Oh, dude.
I'm out here. I'm trying to. He's running into the show. Well, the news is breaking as he's going on the air. I'm going off the air from Big Bets.
Okay.
I'm trying to shop for him for MVP prices on Mahomes so he can try to buy off a bit.
But wait a minute. Let's slow down on that a bit. Let me just point out. Let me play devil's advocate. I believe that's who people usually attribute the advocate to, right?
They call it the devil's advocate. The great Charlize Theron movie. Yeah.
Yes. Don't remember it. What if Jalen Hurts only misses this one
game? He's still alive completely.
Thank you.
Yes.
So isn't this too dramatic of a move?
Maybe.
Everything we talked about was our hypothetical scenario where he misses more than one game. But what if we're just flapping our gums, right? What if he just misses? By the way, Nick Sirianni is still leaving it open that he'll play this week, but none of us think he's going to play this week. There's no reason for him to play
this week. I don't think so either. Based on the timing.
Right.
But I think we do after all the stuff we went through in the first segment, right?
Yeah.
This is still, all of us want to read into this too much. If for some reason Jalen Hurts is healthy enough to play, he will play this Sunday because they want to clinch this.
Right, but for purposes of this conversation in the NFL MVP market, let's say he misses this one game.
1 week,
okay?
Yeah.
One game, which I think most of us can agree. Okay, that sounds reasonable. He misses this one game. Patrick Mahomes is minus 360 and Jalen Hurts is plus 550?
I think oddsmakers have to be assuming he is missing more than 1 week, or else these odds don't make sense.
They're assuming that, but you know what they say about assuming, young Kelly Bidlin?
Yes, I do.
All right. So would you bet, Jalen, if there is a bet, if I forced you, if I said, Kelly Bidlin, you're making a bet, and I'm going to force you to make a bet, isn't Jalen Hurts at plus 550 the bet?
Yeah.
Because if he misses one game, you're really gonna take away the MVP from him for that?
No.
Even though, as we said on Guessing Lines yesterday, Patrick Mahomes is I think this snuck up on people. Patrick Mahomes is 982 yards shy of breaking the NFL single season record for most passing yards. By the way, there's 3 games left. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a thing.
And they, at this point, will play it out. The Chiefs are still vying for that number one seed. So there's no, at this point anyway, there's no Chiefs resting scenario.
Right. Now, it's, look, the point that you're making, and I kind of thought that a little bit yesterday too, of are we going to swing too far on this market?
I think we have.
I think we have. I mean, you can't bet it, though, till you know. This has to be an information bet, right? You see it on Twitter, and you want to make the bet, you know, as soon as you know Hurts might be coming back or is not coming back.
I also feel particularly bad about this whole MVP, Offensive Player of the Year thing that we've been talking about, because we've made good points on it, like, oh, if you give MVP to Mahomes mm-hmm. and then you give Offensive Player of the Year to Tyreek or Jefferson, you can't shut out Jalen Hurts. Right? We've made good points about it, but it seems like every week it's a completely different narrative.
So this is what I started talking to you about yesterday, and I was thinking about this over the weekend. So if you were listening to the show last week, I forget it was on Thursday or Friday, we did that most receiving yards market, right?
And this is what you wanted to
talk about. Yeah, and as I was thinking about it more over the weekend, I'm like, not only did we make a good bet on Justin Jefferson in there, and I'm saying this is before we saw the games play out. Not only was that a good bet on Justin Jefferson, it's a great bet because essentially what you're doing is betting on the Offensive Player of the Year, but you're taking out the threat of the quarterbacks possibly ruining you in this market, right? So you had Jalen Hurts up there. You had Patrick Mahomes up there. Offensive Player of the Year is now taken off the board most shops because of the Jalen Hurts injury. So this is kind of all – it was in theory we were going to come in and talk about this today of how you could bet the Justin Jefferson passing yards leader as a substitution for the Offensive Player of the Year market. But now you can't even compare odds because it's off the board because of Jalen Hurts' injury.
Right. And my point on the Jefferson versus Tyreek thing at the time when we were talking about it was, and we'll do it for the last 3 weeks, Tyreek is going to go up against, in the last three games, the 21st, 5th, and 3rd ranked defenses and opponents' yards per play. 21st, 5th, and 3rd. Whereas Justin Jefferson's got 15th, 21st, and 30th in the Giants, Packers, and Bears.
Well, that's what we liked, the simple handicap to begin with. But it was something else that I was thinking about for people that wanted to play Offensive Player of the Year.
Were you plugging Adam Chernoff's podcast, The Simple Handicap, just there? Or were you just talking about simple handicap in general?
No, but you should go check that out. Just Adam Chernoff's good people.
Now, does Jalen Hurts' injury perhaps affect Coach of the Year? Like, let's say he sits out the two games. Let's go back to our first segment.
Yep.
If he sits out two games, let's say the Eagles lose both of them, and all of a sudden the Eagles become more mortal. 14-3, still spectacular. Let's say they win the last game. Still a spectacular record. But does that shift the Eagles into, well, it's auto Coach of the Year, into, now I'm not so sure it's auto Coach of the Year anymore and other people can be considered, namely Dan Campbell, if the Detroit Lions make the playoffs?
This market makes me furious right now.
Oh, it's infuriating. All of this is infuriating.
If the Eagles get the one seed in the NFC.
Doesn't matter with what record.
Doesn't matter what record, what quarterback. Nick Sirianni, in my mind, is the winner of this award, no matter what Dan Campbell does.
But people thought the Eagles would be good. That won't matter?
I don't think so.
People love Dan Campbell.
I don't think so, Gil, but I don't have a I don't have a bet in this market. I don't have a recommendation. I don't have anything.
Will Hill pointed out how Meshuggah, he didn't use that word, I did, how Meshuggah this market is, because Dan Campbell for the 7-7 Lions is plus 175, but Brian Daboll for the 8-5-1 Giants is 30-1.
Another team we didn't expect anything from.
Right? And I get it, and I understand why, because the Giants are much more smoke and mirrors, but yes, there's all kinds of, you know, incongruence to this whole thing.
Also, what if the Eagles do lose a few games? The Vikings sneak in there. Tell me my boy O'Connell doesn't stand a chance?
Okay. Got to talk about a couple more of these awards. We'll check in with the eggnog bet. Our bowl pick'em challenge. Oh, and Survivor update. This is great. Next, Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's that time of year again, and there's no better way for sports fans to celebrate the season than with BetMGM's 12 days of giveaways. Opening your presents is easy. Just sign into your BetMGM account and unwrap a new giveaway every day between December 14th and December 25th. You'll find everything a bettor needs to enjoy the holidays, including deposit matches, free bets, and parlay boosts tokens for all your favorite sports. Log into your BetMGM account or sign up today for 12 days of giveaways from the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, as always, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Our pro tip for the hour is, I just want to give this pro tip, and then I'm going to have the horrible caveat at the end, Kelly. But the pro tip of the hour, because of all that stuff we were talking about, is if making MVP or yes-no playoff bets in the NFC, make sure to keep track of Hurts injury news and fully understand the playoff implications of the team's remaining schedules. And by Hurts, we mean Jalen Hurts, of course. I'm going to clarify that. But, you know, as I think about this, Kelly, and by the way, all your pro tips available, searchable at VSiN.com for VSiN Pro subscribers only, where you can sort them by sport and by show. But as I think about this even more, Kelly, it's sort of like offensive player of the year, right? We talk about that, and it's like, okay, well, then are they going to, if Jalen Hurts missed two games and they gave Mahomes the MVP, then would they do the sympathy vote for Hurts even though he missed the two games for offensive player there? So maybe the pro tip ought to be, maybe you shouldn't, because of the Hurts injury news, maybe you don't have to bet any of this.
Oh, well, like, right? I mean, offensive player of the year, I'm not even sure when we're going to, as long as Hurts is out, I don't know when we'll see that market repost.
Repost, right.
And to your point, I would not be making a bet in that market.
Of course. Well, we've been saying that for basically with caveats the whole time. So all of this stuff is some of the best bets. This is the pro tip, really. Some of the best bets are the bets not made.
There you go.
That's the pro tip, if you really want to tell the truth.
There you go.
Thank you. I'm sorry about that.
Hope you enjoyed your 47 minutes of betting conversation on this show. Sean, let's just play some music for the rest of the show.
But this is, now this doesn't usually happen on the show where we do this, right? But where we talk ourselves into and then out of stuff.
Yeah.
But this is reflective of how many a betting conversation goes, right?
Yeah.
So there is that. By the way, let's take a real quick, let's look, because we've got other stuff to get to, but real quick. Defensive player of the year now, Kelly, no longer a slam dunk for Micah Parsons. In fact, he's no longer the favorite.
No longer the favorite. It's just shocking how much these have swung.
Yes.
Right? And, you know, probably another good pro tip, right? This is where we talk about all the time. Yes, we do a ton of shows on this network, and we've got a lot of time to fill, especially in the summer. Doesn't mean you need to go into the NFL season mm-hmm. with 1,000 different futures bets, right? Sometimes the best futures bets you can make in the NFL are at week 11, week 12.
You get no hero points
exactly.
for doing it early. And by the way, I will just say this, between Bosa and Parsons, this is going to simply come down to who has one more spectacular game.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And then everybody will go crazy about that person. So Parsons comes out and just destroys this week against Philly. He will immediately be a $3 favorite.
So you got Bosa at 15 and a half sacks.
Yeah.
16 tackles for loss. One forced fumble. Micah Parsons, 13 sacks, 13 tackles for loss. Let's see, three pass deflections and three forced fumbles. Two fumble recoveries, one touchdown.
Micah just, he sacks as a hobby. You know what I mean? Like, that's Bosa's thing. Micah does everything. I don't know. I think it still comes down to who has the one great game left in them. And then comeback player of the year, which is the one other thing we didn't really touch upon. So Geno no longer the slam dunk here. But as we talked about, don't sleep on Geno. I talked about this late last week. He still ought to be the short shot. And he is, by the way. He still is the short shot. But he's now at even money. Whereas McCaffrey and Goff, look at Jared Goff. Both of them at plus 225. But I went through this last week. To me, because we went through Geno Smith's numbers, Christian McCaffrey's, and Jared Goff's, I don't think Jared Goff is winning this. Because Geno's numbers are still just as good as Jared's everywhere, if not better, in certain categories. And they both have the exact same record. You can make a case for McCaffrey. It will just come down to you handicapping the voters. Do you think it will matter more to the voters that someone is coming back, legitimately, literally come back from being good to being hurt to being great again? Or do you think it's going to be a non-literal definition of comeback player of the year, and it really will be who's got the best redemptive story in all of this, and it should be Geno Smith coming back from sucking and you making fun of him for 8 years? That's what I'm saying.
Now that I'm looking at these odds, I'm thinking about, what did Will text you about the Giants? It was about the Giants, right? I'd be like, why are we, Saquon Barkley is really 22-1 in this market right now?
Ah. It's like it was someone just
leading rusher in the league.
Someone just tweeted about Joe Burrow, right? Joe Burrow being like, hey, do you think Joe Burrow could still win MVP? Remember, he has the head-to-head over Mahomes and all that. I'm like, I don't really think voters are going to vote in Joe Burrow, but I think he's appropriately priced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Kelly and I have a bowl pick'em challenge between us. We're just picking winners for all 42 bowl games. And the reason we did this is because we decided that Kelly guessing college bowl lines of lines he was told, then forgot, and then decided to guess the ones he forgot was probably not a worthwhile
segment. Yeah, for most of these, I just tried to guess the favorite.
Correct.
Except for a few, like the NC Central one.
All right.
I knew they were a dog.
You were correct. North Carolina Central, who I conceded, right? I was like, they actually can keep up with Jackson State. And there is the whole distraction narrative. You got that one. I went with Jackson State, the double-digit favorite.
I wish I would have bet it.
And Prime's second year in a row trying to win the Celebration Bowl after having a great season, regular season at Jackson State, goes by the wayside. Off to Colorado he goes with his players. And then I got it back yesterday because I had Marshall, of course, is the big favorite, and you took UConn, and I gave about 1,000 reasons why that wasn't going to happen. So we're even. Now, as I've said, this will be very embarrassing for me if I lose to you, Kelly, because you have no idea what you're talking about here, right? None.
Oh, we're on opposite sides. One coming up today.
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, we're oppo here. I got the
Who's the favorite in this game?
San Jose State is the favorite. San Jose State is the favorite. The Spartans are the favorite against Eastern Michigan in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl today. And then we're the samesies on the other one today as well.
The Boca Raton Bowl later tonight. I don't remember. I think I put Toledo in.
Okay, I don't remember.
Here it is. Yeah, we're both on Toledo.
We're both on the Rockets. Okay. So that's the story with that, and we'll track that throughout because Kelly does have a couple flyers later, too.
Really a four-point dog. It's San Jose State laying four.
Oh, anything can happen, dude.
Yeah, laying four, total 53, and then the Boca Bowl later tonight. You got Toledo laying 3.5, total set at 53.
Yeah, I was just trying to remember. Besides North Carolina Central and UConn, the two games where I was like, Kelly, let's talk about these two bowl games. I remember you also had Clemson. I had Clemson. You had Tennessee.
Yep.
That was another big dog you took. And then there was one more, and I'm just trying to remember what it was, but I can't remember what it was of the four. But you had one other big flyer in this as well. So I think you took, I don't even know. But you have one more big dog coming up. So
okay, I'm pulling up where we're oppo. Illinois, you're on Illinois. I'm on Mississippi State.
Yeah.
In the ReliaQuest Bowl.
That's not the one. I'm talking about something large.
The ones were opposite. The Barstool Bowl, I'm on Ohio. You're on Wyoming. The Orange Bowl, you're on Clemson. I'm on Tennessee.
That's big.
Yep. Music City Bowl, you're on Kentucky. I'm on Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Duke's Mayo Bowl, baby. You're on Maryland. I'm on NC State. Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. You're on Minnesota. I'm on Syracuse. And we got the Military Bowl. You're on Duke. I'm on UCF. And the Liberty Bowl. But we got a lot that are separate. Liberty Bowl. You're on Arkansas. I'm on Kansas.
All right. Listen. Speaking of Duke's Mayo, because I got you excited. This eggnog challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You're going on vacation after today, right?
I am. Gone for a week.
Jeff Barlay, producer number 5 and 8, the Grover Cleveland of producers, will be back in the chair tomorrow.
He will be.
For a few days this week. But you are going to do eggnog when you come back, right?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
Let me hear a proposal, Gil. I made a few hundred bucks off of this last time.
What was the proposal on Primetime Action?
I believe it was $300, and I had to do it in 2 hours. Do you like my leaned back, let me hear your proposal?
Look at you. $300. 2 hours, you drank a gallon?
I drank a half gallon of eggnog.
And that was
it sat like cement in my stomach for roughly 4 days.
Did you do it in 3 hours or in 2 hours?
Two hours. Matt would not let me have the entirety of the show.
Okay.
He refused. Now, I completed the challenge.
Okay.
With like 5 seconds remaining.
I'll give you $350 if you do it in an hour and a half.
We're really forcing the time here. Really forcing I needed like every minute. $350 an hour 45.
$350 hour 35.
So $400 an hour and a half. I say helping me negotiate.
400 hour 25.
Done.
Bam.
400 Worth the risk.
Hour 25.
Hour 25.
All right, when you get back. It's the bet.
Negotiations.
Eggnog challenge.
Yeah, we're going to do that. What did we figure out for next Friday? We'll do it next Friday.
Next Friday. Kelly will be with us for at least an hour of the show next Friday. Then he'll just pass out. By the way, do you give me 400 if you don't do it? Is that how this works?
Oh, not at all.
We'll come back. Survivor, we got to get into the details. And Pete Futek on college football next.